Hello and welcome to another episode of The First Incision, a CMF podcast where we look at topics at the interface of faith and medicine affecting our Christian lives in today's world. I'm your host, Dr. John Greenall. Now, did you know that there are 1,257 hospitals and around 10,000 GP practices in the UK and Northern Ireland? I looked that up today. And did you also know that the NHS is the fifth largest employer worldwide and there's around 1.7 million workers across England, Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland? Now, what would it look like if every one of those workplaces housing all these workers had a Christian presence? Today, I'm joined by Ros Turner, who's the Director of Operations at Transform Work UK, with a mission to inspire Christians to transform their workplaces and their nation. And that includes healthcare institutions, of course. So welcome, Ros.
Hi there, John. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. Hey, first of all, I don't think people listening will know you, so if you can just tell us a bit about yourself.
Okay, well, I've been a Christian since the age of 11. I've been to university in Manchester. I was a youth worker in Reading and travelled the world a little bit. People do recently, for the last 10 years, been working for Transform Work UK. We started off as Christian Workplace Forum, and then we became Transform Work UK in 2007. And the reason that it all started was because of a guy called Dr. Clifford Hill, who heard from God about buying a stately home in Moggahanger Park in Bedfordshire for £1, and now it's worth millions because it's grade one listed. And Clifford was saying to the Lord, why do you want me to buy this house? And the Lord said, look into the heritage. And cutting a long story short, you can read up on it on some website. The guy that Sir John Soham built the house, a guy called Henry Thornton, his daughter married William Wilberforce. And of course we know William Wilberforce abolished the slave trade, but he didn't do it on his own. He was part of the Clapham sect. And who were they? They were teachers, researchers, bankers. They were people in their professions at the height of their, using their skills and gifts that God had given them. And it could be argued to change the values of the nation back then. And so when Clifford said to the Lord, why have you shown me this? Well, where are Christians today? And what are they doing? And as you've said, you know, most Christians are in the workplace. And what are they doing there? Are they able to share their faith? Are they able to influence their institutions with Christian values? And when I came along with Clifford and we started doing this work in 2003, actually, I left it for a little while and came back into it. We arranged meetings in the House of Commons with that question in mind. And we brought together people who were social workers, probation workers. Pete Saunders came from the medical, and I think Steve Fouch came as well at the time, to look at, are people able to do this? And a lot of the time people said no, apart from the Christian Medical Fellowship, actually, because you had your saline solution and your confident Christianity courses, which were fantastic. So we told lots of other sectors, like the Christians, Association of Christian Teachers, about what you do so that they could replicate it and train up their members to be confident in their faith in their workplaces. Honestly, John, I can talk for England, just butt in.
No, it's brilliant. Is that okay? No, I love it. I love the enthusiasm. I think we've gone for the first few questions already. No, it's great. Well, look, I guess the clue is in the name, Transform Work UK. You've just given us a bit of a flavour of how it started. It's just so encouraging. Can you just give us some stories, some kind of current examples of what you're doing and what you're seeing happening?
Yeah, so our name is Transform Work UK, but you know what? Recently, I'm in San Fran next week. I've been invited to the Silicon Valley to speak at a workplace retreat for people in Facebook, Dropbox, LinkedIn, these social media companies. And just to give you an encouraging story, in Facebook, there's over 1,000 Christians that are meeting together, over Facebook. Meeting these days is not very much face-to-face. You can use WhatsApp, emails, Zoom, conference calls. That's part of our meeting together. And they're actually writing, scripture into the code of Facebook. How exciting is that? But let's bring it a bit more down to home here in the UK. So Canary Wharf down here in London, Barclays are able to put on a citywide event called Is Your City Light On? And they got 400 people coming to their events, looking at how to share faith in the workplace. Really, really exciting stuff going on. And just again, if you can imagine, if we got revival coming through Royal Mail, people that work for Royal Mail, our posties, get access to everyone's houses in the UK. I mean, gosh, could you imagine them going, I'm going to pray, who's this? Ros Turner's, I'm going to pray for her. God bless this house. Walking around the streets. So you can taste revival. If we caught it in our churches, everywhere you are, whatever you do, work as if working for the Lord, like it says in Colossians 3:17 and 23.
That's so good to hear. I mean, you've mentioned some some, you know, Facebook, and that's, you're going to have to change your name, by the way, if you go into San Francisco now. But you know, what about healthcare? You know, those examples were obviously great examples, but what's going on in a healthcare setting?
Yeah, great. Well, I've known of the work of Christian Medical Fellowship and some of the other health, you know, sector groups like, I don't know, Christian Ambulance Association, for example. But still people are coming to us to say, can you help me start a Christian workplace group? Or they're coming to us a little bit scared because they've already started prayer groups. And the example, I might as well hone down to an example, a guy called David that works in a hospital here in London. I won't say the name of the hospital, but he got in touch through our website scared because he's an occupational therapist and he's got two workplace groups that meet together on different campuses. And he just said, there's got to be more Christians out there that can join our prayer group. And he happened to speak to somebody in comms, and comms put an email out saying, if you're a Christian out there, get in touch. And then what he didn't realise is that he got an email invited to sit at a board table alongside the other chairs of staff network groups, like the LGBTQ disability, gender, and he was like, why have I been invited to this? And the guy said, well, you lead the Christian group, you know, you're now a staff network group. And he just panicked, what do I do? And so I just spoke to him, are you at your computer? He said, yes. I said, right, get onto our website. And I talked him through the whole process about how to set up a staff network group and about the Equality Act 2010 that basically says that we protect 9 protective characteristics, and, you know, from gender, disability, and one of those is faith and belief. And so once I just gently went through this with him, after about 20 minutes, I said, how do you feel now? I said, I feel encouraged and emboldened to go to this meeting, which was the next day. Anyway, the next day he phoned me up and he said, the meeting's been cancelled. I was like, phew, because what we would encourage a group to do is get our booklet that you can download free from our website and work your way through it. You know, why should your trust, NHS trust, your hospital, your GP practice, why should they allow a Christian staff group to exist? And so what we encourage you to do is write down your vision, your purpose, your aims and your objectives, the benefits that you will bring to that organisation. And so that when you've prayed and found other Christians and you've done this together, go and meet management. It's all clear. There's nothing hidden. This is who we are. And literally not one Christian group, whether in the health service or in any of the other sectors, that have formally gone through this process, through prayer, logically, rationally wrote it out, they've never been turned down. And so there is a logical, rational way to be a good news story to your workplace, to bring positive, tangible benefits into your organisation.
That is really helpful. That's so encouraging to hear. I mean, there are certainly many people that I know who do meet in hospitals, in the GP surgeries, Christians who meet as a prayer group, and they pray together for each other, usually. How is that different to, I think, what you're talking about, these Christian workplace groups? And maybe just give us an example of how that looks different in terms of their orientation and what they're there for.
Okay, yeah, definitely. I mean, I love the fact that there are Christians informally coming together to meet. My sister's a radiographer. She meets in the chapel at her particular hospital with 2 or 3 other people because she wants to pray for the good of that organisation. But the difference really is that when you come together and when you engage with management and management know that you're there. So it's management might already know you exist. They might say, okay, we'll let you put up a poster. Yeah, you can meet and pray in the chapel. Okay. And they're tolerating you. But then when you say, hey, can we be part of the organisation? Every NHS trust will have an equality, diversion and inclusion framework policy. They will, it's there. I've checked out a number of hospitals because I've helped people set up the group. And so, you know, you, by existing and engaging, help your organisation fulfil that role. And they will love you. Because generally what happens is that you are good news. You are salt and light. You have the solutions. You know, we've got God on our side. Jesus lives in us by the power of his Holy Spirit. And so that when you come together and if there's a problem, you start praying, like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, like there was a problem in chapter 2. They got together and prayed and God downloaded the solution so that Daniel went back to Nebuchadnezzar. And so that can happen in your workplaces. And we've seen that happen time and time again, whether it's in a water company, whether in banks, it can can happen in the NHS. And going back to our lovely David and his story, you know, when he did get to go to that meeting, he was there with the non-executive trust chair, he was there with the head of communications, head of HR, and the other leaders of the staff network group. And he was like item 13 on the list. And he said he went with a suit on to make himself a bit formal. And this hospital basically was failing in their race relations. And they were saying, how do we get staff to give over and above? And they gave an example in the chairman's office. There was a plant that was wilting and he didn't water it. The secretary didn't water it. The cleaners came in, they didn't water it. Why didn't they? When guests come in, if you can't look after a plant, how can you look after a whole hospital with people? That was what they were talking about. And when David heard this discussion, he just felt Holy Spirit say to him, you have to capture people's hearts and minds. When we become Christians, our behaviour doesn't just change. It's because we love Jesus and we want to do our best for him. And so David sort of like piped up and he said, oh, we have to capture our colleagues' hearts and minds so that they want to give more to their hospitals, you know. And they all eyes turned on him, he said. And he suddenly felt a little bit worried. And they said, who are you? And he was like, oh, I'm the chair of the Christian Staff Network. So suddenly he's got a title, he's a chair, yes. He's allowed to be there, he's having a Christian influence, he's sat at the table, and they said, tell us more. And he said, well, I'm item 13. And said, just tell us more now. So he said, and so he gave out his papers, so he's formally wrote down what, and the guy from the BAME group, the Black Ethnic Minority group, just went, this is brilliant, can you help us do ours? So straight away, twice, he's been elevated in front of seniors in that office, in that meeting. And what was lovely is that the non-executive chair of the trust board, she saw the power of network groups, because David said, look, we pray for you. We pray for the seniors. We want this hospital to be the best. You know, we're praying for the staff. We're praying for the patients to get healed. And so she caught the value of it. And she said, will you take back what we've discussed here to your groups, to everybody? Now, this, again, sounds like Dad, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, doesn't it? Mm. So he then went back to his workplace groups and say, hey, this is what we discussed. Let's pray about it. And then the other thing that she said is that I want to come and visit your groups. So David said to me, what do we do when she comes? And I said, well, what do? Well, you get someone to tell their testimony of the difference that Jesus makes in their lives, how you become a Christian, and secondly, the difference he makes in this hospital to you, i.e. I don't gossip. I want to speak well of people. I do my job as if unto the Lord, over and above. What employer doesn't want to hear that? I really, coming on this podcast, I just phoned Dave and I said, hey, did she come? Has she been? And he said, well, yes or no. I said, how can you go yes or no? Obviously she has or she hasn't. And he said, well, she didn't come, but your CQC, I don't really know lots. That's quite...
The Care Quality Commission. I've just shivered already as you mentioned them.
So two people from the CQC came to their group and I said, oh, what do they do? So, well, they came to a prayer meeting. I was like, wow, were they Christians? He said, I don't think so. I said, what do you do? Well, we prayed, Roz. I was like, perfect. But before they prayed, they said, thank you for allowing our group to exist. Shall we tell you what we've been up to? And of course, this year was 70 years of the NHS. And so when the hospital had a celebration of 70 years on the NHS, because the Christian group are formally recognised as a staff network group, they were invited to take part in the celebration. So they had their Christian stand with loads of leaflets. In fact, we gave them some books here from the Christian Medical Fellowship that they put on their stand. They've done lots of stuff formally recognised and endorsed by that hospital simply because David and his team sat down, prayed, wrote out their business case, then engaged with management to be formally recognised. And I tell you what happens, they've gone from 20 to 90. Wow. And when they put their Christmas event on, more people will come this year, I believe, than they've had ever in that wow. hospital.
And so these are groups, or are mixed groups with, you know, radiographers and OTs and doctors and nurses and administrative staff and
Correct.
Porters.
Yes.
So it's really representing the whole organisation.
Yep. And
right?
cleaners, you know, yeah. cleaners, clean staff, so important. So the purpose is we want to see this organisation thrive. And what brings all these guys together is that they work in this particular place. I love what CMF do. You support the professionals and you can speak into the ethics of it, that, you know, people like, I haven't got a Scooby-Doo, you know, but people whether they're cleaners, administration staff, like you say, the porters, sonographers, it's so good that they come together to pray for their organisation.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, obviously, CMF is a membership organisation with doctors and nurses and associate members can be from all you know, all these other walks of life and in healthcare as well. So a medic listening to this might say, okay, Roz, that sounds great, but have you seen my timetable? I'm in theatres, I'm never available at the same time. How does that work? I mean, can you just give us a feel of what might these meetings look like? And if they are at the same sort of time, how might a doctor who might say, well, that's just not possible, how might we get involved? What sort of influence can we have in helping these groups to form and to thrive?
Great. Well, time is an issue. It's not just in the medical field. You know, people work in hot desking all over the place now, very hard. People working through their lunch breaks to make time to meet together is difficult. So a workplace group, if you can meet face to face, wonderful. But it's about the presence, the purpose and connection. When you know that there are other Christians on your ward, when you know in the hospital there are 90 people, when you know there's going to be 1,000 Christians, come on, let's be, you know, suddenly you feel more empowered, more confident about being, you know, living for Jesus in your workplace. So connection is key. And the next thing is the purpose. You know, why is it that you're working there? Why, you know, why are you a doctor? Why are you a sonographer? Why are you an administration staff? What is the purpose? Obviously, in hospitals, it's about bringing healing to people. And that is such a God's, you know, it's all over the Bible, isn't it? So there's a greater purpose. And then it's the presence. What is the best news for your hospital? Well, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, I'm there in your midst. And so even if it's two or three praying together in the chapel, you know, the presence of Jesus is the best thing for your hospitals. But we have some information on our website about virtual groups. And we often encourage people to use WhatsApp. And also use email as well. So send out a regular email so you don't have to meet face to face. So the first Monday of the week, you know, today we're going to pray for the seniors in the hospital. This is, you can go on the internet and get all that information anyway. These are their names. They've got four kids. You know, let's pray for integrity, for justice. Let's pray for God's blessing on their lives. You know, if you're not praying for your hospital, question who is. And like when Nehemiah rebuilt the walls, everyone had to take part, even the women and the children, you know, everyone needs to, if we want to see a different nation, and I believe it will come with all my heart when Christians wake up wherever they are. And, you know, as medics, you know, you're doing such a wonderful job. We need you to be the best that you are. Would it not spur you on to know that some of the admin staff or other staff are praying for you, you know? And it's taking time and not just going, oh, let's just pray willy-nilly. No, be, you know, have an agenda for your prayers. You know, this week we're going to pray for, you know, the cancer department. You know, this week we're going to pray for the children's paediatrics or whatever it is. You know, I'm not very good with terms, not very medical at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, be, you know, be targeted, be specific. And so people can jump in and go, right, I'm going to be praying for that as well.
That's really helpful. I mean, I've just moved to work in a new environment. It's quite a small workplace. And what's interesting as a medic, you know, I do go and I think, oh, are there any other Christian doctors there? And actually there are a couple. But I started asking around. And there's someone there from my church who's a speech therapist. And I just sort of started saying, well, do you know any other Christians? Anyway, in this rather small workplace, 13 people have been mentioned to me. Now, I'll be really honest with you. I've know that number, but I've struggled to actually do anything with it. And I think that this is a real challenge to me. So, well, how, you know, so can you go on, give me some advice? So you're here in front of me. Give me some advice. What could I do? What are some practical steps to go from that knowledge that, yeah, there might be some Christians around, and with a heart and desire to say, wow, we could actually see a real blessing, because the atmosphere sometimes at work is difficult, I'll be really honest. Yeah. But we could actually see change in this workplace. What might I do to take those steps?
I always say to people, take your time. Nehemiah, what did he do? First of all, got on his knees, fasted, prayed. It's the most important thing. Secondly, you know, as you know, he went to seek permission. We would say, take your time, go through the booklet. In our booklet, there's blank boxes for you to write in purposely. And every time you write in a box, to pray over it. So, for example, do you know any other Christians? Write their names down. So if you're not meeting face to face, it's hard to share that. So why don't you set up a WhatsApp group? 13 people on a WhatsApp group is easy. And put the question out. Do you know any other Christians? And so they can then, yes, there's someone here, someone there, and add their names to it with permission, if they've given you permission. Then let's stop. Let's pray for these guys. Next step. Nehemiah then did his research. He walked around the walls. And so is there a multi-faith prayer room? Your HR or diversity and equality inclusion manager, what are their names? Are they Christians? Are there any other staff network groups already that exist? Who are the leaders of those groups? Start praying for them. Because what you'll find is that you get the opportunity to minister to the leader of the LGBTQI group, the leader of the BAME group, the disability group, the gender group. What an opportunity that is when you do it. So start praying for these guys already. So this is what I'm saying. Take your time. And this is the sort of thing, whether you put it on an email, communication, that connection and the communication is key. And so, you know, this might take 2 years. It might take 2 months. It depends how you want to, well, it depends on the Lord and how he leads you. But I'd say take your time, do your research. Getting seniors involved is very important. So whether that's a consultant or whether it's someone on the board of your trust or your GP surgery or what have you, pray, God, is there a Christian? You know, who are they? Ask for divine connections. When you start praying, coincidences happen, you know, and write their names down and pray about them. They might not be able to come to your group. They might not want to be on the email list, you know, that you send out every week or every bi-weekly. But for them to endorse what you're doing is important. Our book also goes on to things, you know, it is tough sometimes as Christians. We come from many different, you've got Pentecostals, Brethren, Raving Charismatics. I'm probably one of those, all sorts of backgrounds coming together. Yeah. And so what we would say is keep Jesus the focus. If you're Catholic, don't go on about Mary. If you're a Raving Pentecostal, you know, speak in English so that everyone can understand you. Yeah. And, you know, the Bible is important. But also when you come together, we say it's not rocket science. You could do this on a WhatsApp. You could do it on email. What is your organisation celebrating? Because God is a God of celebration. What can we get behind and thank God for what we're doing? You know, somebody's been, you know, gone home, you know, wonderful. You know, what are you struggling with? And there will be lots of those. So 10 minutes to say what's good, 10 minutes to say what's bad, if you like, or what the challenges are, 10 minutes for prayer, that's half an hour done, that's your lunch break. Mm. So you don't have to do the Bible study stuff if you haven't got enough time. It's, you know, don't do church in work, be church. That's what I'd say.
And so you might, and you're envisaging that there might be, I guess, non-Christians who would come along to these groups, is that right?
Yeah. Well, the beauty of a staff network group, because of you've got that that yes from management and you're advertised on intranet or whatever, people know about it. And so by default, you are evangelistic. By default, you are a witness. And have the door open. I know of a group in Oxford, actually, not in a hospital, it's a different organisation. And they put on the door, if you want prayer, come in. All people are welcome, Christian Staff Network Group. And so, you know, they had a Hindu lady actually come in who was pregnant and the baby, there's something wrong with the baby. I think it was upside down in the womb. And so they said, we're praying in the name of Jesus. Is that okay? And she said, yes. Prayed in the name of Jesus. She went back to her GP. The GP said to her, what's happened since the last time we met? And she said, oh, well, I got prayed for at work. And he was like, oh, well, you know. And then she came back to that group because a colleague didn't tell her about it, invited her to the group. And she said, you wouldn't believe it. The baby's the right way around. Thank you for your prayers. Did she become a Christian? No. Has she received the love of God? Yes. You know, I was reading in Mark 3 yesterday about when Jesus crosses the lake, Lake Galilee, and, you know, other boats were out on that lake. The storm came. When Jesus said to the winds and the waves, quiet down, it affected all boats. They weren't in the boat with Jesus, but the effect of the quietness of the wind and the waves help them as well. So, you know, whether people become Christians or not, we want to see people flourish in their lives. My heart is that people come to know Jesus, ultimately, of course. But we're more than that. We're transforming the nation. I want to see goodness made fashionable again. In the words of William Wilberforce, it's one of my desires for the UK.
That's great. And I'm just really excited listening to you. I mean, we've got catalyst teams that we're starting up. This is part of my role, is to see these teams established around the UK. Not so that we have teams, but so that actually we've got groups of local Christian medics and nurses, in our case, praying together and thinking, how can we impact our workplace places for God? How can we bring goodness in? And I had one guy on one of the teams saying, oh, I really want to email the whole of the CCG and tell them what we're doing and tell them that we're praying for them. And I'm I'm just going to do it. Shall I do that? And he was asking for some advice. And actually, I said to him, well, why don't you go and ask for permission to put something in there regularly? And if you're listening, you won't see Roz is giving the thumbs up. That means that was probably the right advice, was it? To go to the management and to ask for permission for that.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're of a different faith or a different particular lifestyle and you are just going to willy-nilly send out emails, you're going to annoy people. But if your organisation gives you permission and it comes in a formal, template or what have you, then it's okay. And that's the beauty of a workplace group. If somebody from a different lifestyle or faith says, why do you exist, Christians, blah, 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 and you can say, management have okayed it. And also, it just gives confidence when management says yes to what you're doing. So yeah, I would seek permission. I've heard good stories of people, I was going to say getting away with it, but that's not fair, where it's been acceptable, but also not horror stories really of where the Christian has to apologise and go, I'm sorry I did that. And I agree with that. Do apologise if you've done something wrong. You're there to work and work hard for the Lord. And what we love about being Christians, in Romans, is it not? Oh, I can't remember the actual scripture reference, but at trusting in God, we get overflow with peace and joy. The overflow, you can't help it. Wherever you go, you've got the overflow. As long as you're trusting in Jesus, it just spills out of you.
I think that's so helpful. I mean, so many people within the CMF say to me, it's just the atmosphere in work is so difficult. There's it might be cynicism, gossip, just a heaviness and with the busyness of work. And we just get that feeling as medics, and I'm sure all these other professions as well, that it is a hard old place to be in the hospital. It's a tough environment to be in at the moment in healthcare. And I just feel that what you've brought is very much saying, well, let's look at this a different way. Let's look at this with fresh eyes and see that actually, rather than us being the victims we're here to actually make a difference. We're here to actually go, and we're carrying the presence of God.
Absolutely.
To change the environment and Absolutely. The atmosphere that we're in.
And to do that on your own is tough. But to know that you're doing that with 10 other people, 20 other people, in David's case, 90 other people, someone else has got your back. When you're having a good day, great, you're helping someone else. When you're having a bad day, they're lifting you up. And, our God is a 3-in-1 God anyway. He's all about teams. So
That's
can
right.
talk for England.
No, it's brilliant. Roz, I've so appreciated you sharing with us. Thank you so much. I think certainly it's really encouraged me. I hope that for you listening, it's really just giving you some vision. And I just encourage you, if you're listening to this, to maybe just take a moment just to say, God, what is it that you're saying to me? Is there something that I'm called to respond to in some way? And it might be that you said that you're being called to start something up. It might be that you are perhaps that consultant who's in a senior position who actually has the ability to influence, make a difference and encourage others around you to take that task forward of setting the group up. Thank you so much. And just before you go, just to remind us of your website and what are the specific things we can look on there. You mentioned downloading a guide particularly.
Okay. So it's transformworkuk.org, and on the homepage it will say start a group, add a group. And so if you click on start a group, it'll go to our page where you can download that booklet.
Great. And at the beginning of this podcast, I said, look, there's over 1,200 hospitals in the UK and Northern Ireland. There's around 10,000 GP surgeries. And I'm just thinking, wow, CMF has approaching 6,000 members spread across perhaps a majority of these workplaces. And we know there are many more Christians who aren't members. And then there are many Christians of other associated allied health professions as well. And I'm really inspired by what you've said. And if you have been inspired listening to this, do get in touch with us. Our email address, and check out our website for local CMF groups, but also check out transformworkuk .org as Roz has just said, because you can see registered workplace groups on a nice map there as well as downloading the resources that Roz has spoken about today. So Roz, thank you again for being with us today.
Thank you, John.
Good, hope you've enjoyed that, and we look forward to being with you in a couple of weeks' time for another episode.